into Sight to the Blind. I want to get into what I posted on my Instagram a couple of days ago concerning this young lady who tried to shade Michaela, the young lady I had on this show or interviewed in the show a couple of months ago, as it pertains to the Messiah's true name. And I talked about this on this show so much, I really get tired of talking about it, but obviously the ignorance is still out there, and I have to combat the ignorance as much as best as I can. So the whole thing with transliteration and Hellenization is completely two different doctrines. Transliteration is basically taking one name and making it into nothing so you can pronounce it better. So you take the power, which is in our relationship with the Most High, his name has power. The titles don't have power. His name has power. His son's name has power. That's the only two people in this whole entire creation that deserves respect when it comes to their names. Especially when we're calling on them for something that we need. Either healing, prophecy, for your enemies to be removed, or a situation that comes in your life that you need an answer to. We need to respect the fact that these two men are going to give us that answer when no one else can give us that answer. So it is imperative that we truly use or try to use their names, because there's power in those names. There's a reason why Hollywood has been abusing the word Jesus Christ. It has no power. They are not afraid to use that name, because that's what transliteration is. Taking a name with power, that with meaning, and making it into nothing because you can sound it sounds better out of your mouth when you say it, or you can understand it better. But we've known Egyptian idols, West African Yoruba idols, and we know all those names. We don't change the names to them into English names. We know who Horus, Isis, and Set is. We know who Oshun and Ogun is. We know Athena, Artemis, Dionysus, and Zeus is. And we don't come from any of those nations, except for maybe, you know, the West Africa Yoruba. But we don't have to do a whole lot to pronounce those names. We don't go searching for the English version of those names. They are as is. And they're false idols. They're idols that never existed. So why, when it comes to the Messiah's name, the Mashiach's name, do we all of a sudden tense up and get defensive when we're trying to call him by his true ethnic name? Or search for his true ethnic name? Why are we so easy to defend Greece or Hellenization? Because that's all it is. The Bible has been Hellenized. It's been Europeanized. All the prophets down from the title of the Most High to his son, to the prophets, to the people in the Bible have all been, most of them, been Hellenized. Why do we accept this? If you truly know the history with the Grecians, the Yavinium, the descendants of Javan, and the descendants of Japhet, if we truly know what their history is when it comes to us, we would no longer want to call him by that Greek name, Isos Christos, when that name wasn't in rotation when he was alive. And it's not hard to say Yahusha, Yahawashai, Yeshua. It's not hard to say those names if that's what you bounce them back for, off on. But I use Yahusha. It's not hard to say that. And I'm not, I don't know Hebrew. Just like you don't know Egyptian, or you don't know Greece, you don't know Rome, you don't know Pig Latin, but you know those gods, who those gods and goddesses are, and you don't have to use a translation for them. But you give more respect to false idols than you do the true name of a Messiah that has died for your sins, that you owe your life to, you owe your walk to, your salvation, your Yeshua. So you are trapped mentally, especially African Americans, you are trapped mentally and emotionally and spiritually by the spirit of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm convinced that it's a spirit, because no one in their right mind will keep defending a name that has not been used or has ever been used while the Messiah has ever been alive. No one used that name when he was alive. And the translation is no different than the Hebrew translation. There's nothing. It's not a hard name. It's not like a true African name where you have to make sounds and clicks with it. But it really irritates me. It really do irritates me why people in religions choose not to know what their religion's all about or the foundation of it. Because we're all for the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. We keep using, oh, we're not of the world. We shouldn't like the world. But those names come from the world. Religion comes from the world. You can't find me anywhere in the scripture that says, okay, it's all about Christians now. I mean, you just give me the book of Acts. But that's one book. One book does not trump the rest of the book. And that's what Truth Unedited was talking about, the replacement theory. It's trying to use Christianity to usurp the Israelites. Or trying to divide the book, say, all right, we got the new book, and we'll let the Jews have the old book. But that's not how that works. Because the children from the Old Testament, the real true children, are still alive and well and talking to you right now. But we're not trying to make ourselves better than you. We're trying to warn you. This is what happened to us for being in religions. This is what happened to us for following after Asherah, for following after Baal, which is called Lord or Master. This is who we followed after and got destroyed for it. But some reason, different races and these religions, this ain't never happened to us because it's all good. Yeah, because the Most High didn't choose you. He didn't choose you to be corrected. He didn't choose you to be disciplined. So we're going to have a humbling session. So before I get into what the Messiah, the Mashiach, really was preaching about, the verses that no one wants to talk about, I'm going to talk about these verses. And let me make an announcement too. If you guys are sending me questions or answers or whatever on the podcast Spotify thing, I am not even seeing that. One, I know some of you just want to argue with me and argue your points to say that you're smarter than me in this walk because you're in a religion. I ain't listening to it. I rarely ever read those comments. I have a email for this show, but I only posted it once because I want you to go back and find it yourself. And I can tell people ain't going back and finding it through the shows that I've already posted. So that's why I'm not answering those questions on every Spotify episode, that I'm not answering those questions because I'm not in the mood to argue with you. Because I'm reading exactly what scripture says, and I'm not even giving you the scriptures that's hard to comprehend. I'm giving you the ones that's truly easy to truly understand if you are not in religion. But I'm going to humble people. If you're not a part of our nation, you need to be humbled. So I'm going to humble you. Or a matter of fact, Yah is going to humble you because I'm reading his words from his prophets that he put those words in their mouths. Fourth book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 56. As for the other nations, which also come of Adam, you have said that they are nothing, but be like unto spittle, and have likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falls from a vessel. And now, O Yahuwah, behold, these heathen, which have ever been reputed as nothing, have begun to be Adonim over us and to devour us. So this whole doctrine that the sister put out trying to mock or try to shade or shame the sister we know that was on this show, she tried to say, oh, the gospel is meant to go out to everybody, so everybody needs to learn Greek. It wasn't even written. You don't even read it as Greek anyway. You read it as English. They just changed the names, which it should be easy for you to change to read the original names as is. But you think we're supposed to be grafted into the world and not the world grafted into us. And I said this before and people don't like it. It is not your way. It's not a Burger King menu. It's not, you could walk in, like some of you are used to walking in the restaurants and say, no, I don't want this. You could take this back. I don't want this. You could take that back. Some of you used to being Yelpers. Complain about everything. You can't complain about scripture. It is what it is. It's not changing. The Most High does not change. He says that. I am Yahuwah. I do not change. So the sons of Yaakov, Jacob, are not consumed. The Most High doesn't change anything. He set the beginning from the end from the beginning. He goes back and forth. He controls the multiverse. He controls everything. He has not changed, not wavered one bit. But when it get into people who are religious and their religious mind, they truly believe that it's all about them. Isaiah 40, or Yeshayahu 40, 15 and 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Now he says, take up the isles. Like we talking about the isles of the Gentiles mentioned in Book of Genesis. Because he's not talking about Africa. You know exactly who he's talking about. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. That's what religion is. Vanity. That's who the nations are that created it. Nothing. Lower than dust. Spittle. And this is not my words. These are words are found in scripture concerning other nations, the nations that exalted themselves above the Most High, exalted themselves above Yahusha, renamed him, re-edited him or re-imaged him, repackaged him, and sold him against multiple denominations of religions. That's what these nations have done. Tried to copycat, manipulate our scriptures. And the Most High allowed them to do it. Why did he allow them to do it? Because there's a lesson in it. He's showing you. He's showing you why you are less than nothing. He's showing you why you lower than dust. He's showing you why you are nothing but spittle. We haven't created our own gods before. Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, Jacob, have not created their own idols. Shem didn't create his own idols. And that's the bloodline we come from, to the seed of Noah. Noah didn't create his own idol. But these other nations, since the day of Nimrod, have created their own idols, created their own gods. Every nation have created their own gods except for us. We are truly the only people who have never created another our own gods. We've gotten them from other people or other nations that we were around. And that's what destroyed us. But for some reason, in you guys' mind, in the Gentile mind, the heathen mind, the mind of these other nations, you think you can create another God and attach it to our history and then run with it and think, okay, because I feel I'm blessed through this, that I have to be right. But you have to remember, while we were in our curses, you were benefited. So while we were being destroyed, you got your financial backing and your financial security in the foundation all for our curses. Because if we were ruling, we would come nowhere near you. You could come nowhere near us if we were in our righteousness. So what do you think is going to happen? That the other foot has to come down. If we are all the Most High's children, don't you think what you've seen us go through, you will go through? You think you will not, but you will, because in Book of Revelation and other books too, he keeps reiterating that whoever took into slavery is going to be taken into slavery. And some of you be like, can't fathom that. No, the Most High can't do that to me. I've always been following. But if you're in a religion, you're heading on that path. I'm telling you, you're on that path. There's no way in the world that the Most High is going to look at your religion and then look at his children and say, okay, you can be grafted in with my children after I've been punishing and reprimanding and disciplining my children for being in religions. There's no way in the world the Most High is going to allow us to be in one body or one member with religion. I could tell you that right now. I'm pretty sure of that based on the curses of Deuteronomy. So, regardless of how you slice it, you still have to be grafted into us. You have to pass the audition. We don't have to pass no audition. We already went through our auditioning. Our ancestors paid the price. Our forefathers paid the price for our auditionings to make sure we were right. We went through spiritual blindness. This, I think, most of you now are going, not you guys that I'm talking to, but those around you, those who are trapped in religion, they are starting to go through their spiritual blindness because it's vanity and pride that's keeping them from seeing the Most High for what it truly is and simplicity that comes with worshiping the Most High. Fourth book, Ezra, chapter 9, verse 22. Let the multitude perish then, which was born in vain, and let my grape be kept, and my plant, for with great labor have I made it perfect. We are the plant. We are the, and it said in the book of Corinthians, that do not boast against the branches, because the root, you don't bear the root bear you. That's the New Testament. He's talking about us. We being the plant. We being the branches. We being the root. And there are those who are in our nation who are going to be cut off. You can be grafted in. But you think you can be in a religion and grafted in? Because Paul said there's no Jew, there's no Greek? You take those words and twist it. Because Paul was talking to people who were in religions. And the people who are truly following Yahushua, they were called messianics. But I don't think they called it that themselves. It just was a title that was given to them. They changed that title. They changed that scripture and changed it into Christian. But it would go against what the Most High has punished his children for being in religions. So I don't understand how in this day and age, there's still black Christians who don't truly understand the truth, especially when you've seen Kanye and Kyrie Irving did that whole show about Israelites and no one took it serious. Not even people tried to peek into it and say, okay, let me see what this is about. No one did it. So I don't even know what that psyop or that ritual was even for, because it didn't do anything. Not as what the awakened Israelites thought it was going to happen. But so let's be for real. Let's be for real for who we truly are. Now, we already had our reprimanding. We already had our being shamed and all and being mocked and reproached. We all had that. And we still have a little bit of it because of the two-thirds that are operating in this matrix, this lower matrix. The two-thirds that you always see on mainstream media, that is the two-thirds. I don't care if they're billionaires. I don't care if they're dead broke. They are the two-thirds. They are the branches that will be cut off. Because they're reprobates. We've gone through this. But some of you have been on your high horse in a religion for far too long, and you need to be humbled. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter what denomination you are. When it comes to this scripture, most of you are going to find out, or most of you are going to understand, that the people walking around you are people who were born in vain. When the Most High said, let the multitude perish then, that means he's not worried about everybody being saved, because that's not his job. His job is not for him to turn everybody to him. The only way he's going to turn people to him is through destruction, is through famine, is through death, is through sword. When people start losing and people start, you know, grasping at the air and people start losing hope and forgiveness and start losing their attachment to the Roman Catholic Church's religion, once they start doing that, they will turn to the Most High themselves. And the one thing that's more important to know is that they better hope that the Most High doesn't use Proverbs 1:26 on down to against them. They said, oh, when I was there to offer you help and give you knowledge, you turned it away. Now, the Most High works in us. The Ruach HaKodesh works in all of his children and those that he called, or the called out assembly. So it's not him coming out of the clouds and say, hey, follow this, follow that. Hey, I'm telling you this. No, he's like, I gave you the information. You've seen the information online. You've seen it on social media, and you choose to mock it. So I'm going to mock you when desolation comes upon you. You're going to call for me, but I'm not going to hear you because you hated knowledge. Now, does that sound like the Most High is wanting everybody to turn back to him, or making sure everybody gets this word in? No, he's not worried about that. He's worried about his children coming back, the remnant that he has called. and those who want to cleave to the house of Yaakov, the house of Jacob. That's all he's worrying about. He's not worrying about reprobates. He's not worrying about religions. You think he care that y'all have job? You feel like, oh, I'm talking to Jesus through my dreams, or I seen the pastor, you know, exorcise some demons out of people. You seen those videos. You seen what this one was, this white pastor and this white guy shaking and screaming, talking about he's getting a demon out of him. Please, so this dude can go turn around and do Christmas and then do Easter and then do all those pagan holidays that the Most High speaks against. There's no way in the world that they're exercising those demons, and there's no way in the world they're using that kundalini spirit to be like the apostles in Scripture. And that's the whole point of Christianity. That's the problem with it. They read Paul, and they read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they think they have been given the power to get rid of demons in people. But all the apostles and the disciples weren't Christians. They were following Yahushua as is. They weren't in no religion. No one in that book was in a religion. Only time they were in a religion, they got destroyed immediately after. But you think, because you haven't met your curses and you haven't been in Deuteronomy, you think, oh, the Most High is listening to me. Jesus is with me. He's watching me take demons out of people. And most of you know that some of that stuff is skits and made up. But let's go into Matthew. Let's go on how does Yahushua feel about other nations. Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a Canaan woman came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Adonai, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Adonai, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. This is Yahushua that people think is Jesus Christ, that is so accepting. You've seen those articles. You've seen those promos. He gets us. It's trying to make Yahushua seemed like he was all for everybody and everybody was all for one thing. No. A Canaanite woman. He told her that she's like a dog. And the children's bread, who was the children? The lost sheep of Yisrael. So what he said, I'm not even going to waste my time. I'm not sent to you to take care of you. I'm sent for my people, the Most High's people. That's who I'm sent for. Everybody else is going to have to wait. And she said, truth, Adonai, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the Adonim's table. So what he did was humble her in front of everybody. So what he's letting you know and letting it be known, that all the other nations, as mentioned in Ezra and mentioned in Yeshayahu, he's telling these nations to humble yourself. Because when it comes to the Most High, his people come first. That's what he's saying. Some of you don't want to believe it. Some of you don't want to hear it. But that's what he's saying. He humbled her. Yeah, he still blessed her and still did what she asked. But it had to be known who the real children are. For a certain, Mark 7, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean ruach heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Yavini, Javan, a Grecian, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Yahushua said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. So here's Yahushua again, liking a Grecian woman to a dog. Saying the children need to be filled first. Yisrael needs to be filled first because that's who he's been sent to find. The lost sheep of Yisrael. Not any other nation did he come to help out. So you think the Most High is going to be okay with you calling his son a Grecian name after his son had likened a Grecian woman, not a Grecian man, a Grecian woman to a dog. That's what you believe? That's what you think? And he said the same thing. And she answered, said unto him, yes, Adonai, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. That's him letting you know he's humbling these nations, the nations that he was around, humbling them. He humbled the seed of Ham and he humbled the seed of Japhet. Oh, but he wanted the word to be out there for everybody. Really? Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and speak unto him and say, why speak you unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. Just like in this generation, neither do they understand, neither do they hear, and neither do they see. Regardless how much scripture, how much information you put in front of their eyes, they're still going to defend the Greek way, the Grecian way, the heathen way to represent the Messiah. And you think the Most High does not know this. You think the Most High doesn't know history. He's the ultimate history teacher. The ultimate social studies teacher. He knows exactly where these names come from. He knows exactly the thoughts of those who created these names. And he is not going to dwindle his power or his name and giving it to, like he said before, I will not pass my glory on to another nation or another idol. Let's go to Matthew 10. When he called his disciples together and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Mind you, he was around Yasharel doing this. The miracles that he performed were around Israelites. These 12 Yahusha sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the other nations, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Enter ye not of the other nations. If he wanted this message to go out, why wouldn't he just allow them to go wherever they wanted to go? Why didn't he send them all the way up to Egypt again? Why didn't he send them up to Greece and Rome? Why didn't he send them up to all the isles where Japhet and them were at? Why he told them, no, don't go into the other nations. And don't go into where the Samaritans are. Because apparently the Samaritans were heavy idol worshippers, as mentioned in the book of Kings. So this whole, when you read the scriptures that nobody want to read, you have a different perspective of who your Mashiach is. They try to make him effeminate and soft as if he had no umph to him. But he was a man who walked around, who knew exactly what he was doing and what he was sent for. We as people in these other nations made him up to be something that he's not. And then try to defend it when we bring our scripture saying his personality isn't just about being nice and blessing and doing miracles. You got to almost read the little parts. That's why he said about seeing and seeing not and hearing and hear not, because y'all hear what you want to hear. Because you base your Messiah off whatever makes you feel comfortable about yourself. It hurts some of you to know that the Most High is black. It hurts some of you so bad that his son is black. We get it. We truly get it. Because you've seen our foolishness, our wickedness being paraded on mainstream media and entertainment and the sports world and in the political arena. You've seen us be pawns to Freemasons, Jesuits, and the Roman Catholic Church so long that you think no way in the world that this is the children of the Most High. I get that. But that's the reason why they do it. You think they're ever going to put real righteousness from our race in front of your eyes, especially when you know that we are the true children of the Most High? No, they're not going to do it. If the shoe's on the other foot and you were the children of the Most High, we would be doing the same exact thing to you. Probably. We would make sure your image is so corrupt and corroded that there's no way people would ever believe that righteousness or a righteous plant or a true enemy of the devil ever came out of this bloodline. I guarantee you that we would. If the shoes were on the foot, we would do that. We would go out of our way to destroy you. So you truly have to understand your own race and know exactly what it is in your own race and your bloodlines, the traits that's in your genetics that causes you to do exactly what the Most High says you shouldn't do and the reason why he had to humble you. Just like he's going to humble you pretty soon, regardless. That is why I always preach and try to get y'all to stop seeing life as color and life as a religion, because it's blinding your spirituality. It's blinding you. It's causing you to not think right. It's causing you to think with emotion, irrational emotion, than true motion for the Most High. Accept the truth for what it is. Some of us were Baptist Christians, and we accepted the fact Jesus was white. We accepted this was our Savior. We accepted that God might be white. But did we act the way y'all act about it? No. Because when I found out Christianity wasn't serving me and really wasn't doing anything, I stopped participating in it. I never fought to defend it. I never walked around, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not listening to this stuff. I just didn't know. That's what spiritual blindness is. You don't know. But once you know, once you see the truth and you attach yourself to the truth, you remove the ego and the pride. I don't need to defend the fact I was a Christian because I didn't care. This country, you care about religion because you're tribal. You have to make it a point that your righteousness is above other people because you're in a religion that you don't follow no rules on, a religion that you just make it up as you go, a religion that's truly just do what thou wilt, because the Roman Catholic Church does what thou wilt. And you, all you do is go and walk into a booth and say, you know what? You say a couple of Hail Marys or Hail Fathers or whatever they do up in there. And then you're dismissed and your sins are all taken away. That's a do what thou wilt. Christianity is do what thou wilt. Oh, I just go to church Sunday and pray of forgiveness. And then I'll go back to sinning from Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. It's comfortable. This walk is not supposed to be comfortable for you. It's supposed to agitate you and irritate you. It's supposed to beat you up. It's really supposed to empty out all the impurities of being in this world. It's supposed to do that to your soul and your spirit. It's supposed to pour. You're supposed to pour out everything that's impure and take in the truth. But some of you keep stopping halfway because you don't want to go too far into the truth because you've been defending the lie loudly for so many years. And now you'd be embarrassed that all of a sudden change because you don't want the pushback. You don't want the bag back with it. You don't want to be put in the corner and have to defend yourself because you've been defending the lie the entire time. But if you read the book of Revelation, it does start off saying the cowardly, the unbelieving and the cowardly. And all liars will have their part in the lake of fire and the sexually immoral. But we're talking about cowards. We're talking about the cowardly, those who cannot accept the truth for what it is and tell people about the truth. There's nothing stopping you from putting in this work. There's nothing stopping you from starting your own podcast or your own page and really putting in this work regardless of what people think of you. But most people don't want to get there. You should look at it as a blessing to be hated. I love it. I love it when people get irritated with my posts. I'm not going to be arguing with them. Y'all don't have to look at the comments every time you post something. Even if it's controversial, you don't have to look at the comments. Just laugh because you know it's the truth. And you know these people, just as the people were back then, they were seeing and seeing not and hearing not. It's no different than what people are doing today. They just as blind today as they were back then. And this is what Yahusha had to deal with, so we must deal with it as well. And you should look at it as a badge of honor that you have to deal with it. But let's go to Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Rabbi, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the Torah? How read you? And he answering said, You shall love Yahuwah Elohaka with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Did he say, oh, you should love me? Did Yahushua say, correct him? Like, no, you should love me. It's about me. It's me, 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 me. Jesus is Lord. Me, 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 me. Jesus is God. It's about me. No, did he say that? No. What did he say? He said, and he said unto him, you have answered right. This do and you shall live. The Father. He put it on the Father. Religion puts it all on the Son, so you make an excuse not to go to the Father. Religion makes you take the Father out of the picture and put the Son or the false image of the Son on the pedestal and say, oh, I'm just going to go through him. Because you know deep down in your spirit, you have to answer to the Father, because it's the Father who's going to be judging the souls of man, not the Son. The Son's going to come down to wreak havoc, to be a sword. But the Most High is the one that's ultimately doing the judging and the pardoning. And Yahushua answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. No, let me go back. He said, he said unto him, you have answered right, this do and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Yahushua, and who is my neighbor? And Yahushua answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him for dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of these three do you think was his neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Yahushua unto him, go and do likewise. And this is where we get the whole thing about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan story. But what Yahushua was saying, even when it comes to a Levitical priest, even if it comes to a priest, if they do not show you favor, if they do not look after you, they are not your neighbor. So, but we, oh, you got to love our neighbor like we love ourselves. But Yahushua's telling you, if the people who are helping you, the people who love you, the people who take care of you, those are your neighbors. Those who are out here despitefully using you and all that other stuff and turning another cheek, those are people who are your neighbors that have conflicted spirits. So Yahushua's telling you, is letting you know who is who. If people who walk by you when you're in your troubled times, they ain't your neighbors. But if people who you know that you are around that you know are good to you or have, you know, been interacting with you, have been good to you at some times, but say they had a bad day and they become your enemy, those are the ones you forgive. Those are the ones you, if they use you spitefully, that you pray for them because you know they have a good side about them. That's how I take from it. They don't say you go out there and just you praying for celebrities and wickedness and hoping they'll do good to you. He's not saying that. He's saying that the people who walking by you when you're at your toughest times, they ain't your neighbors. But the person who stops, regardless of where they come from, regardless of who they are, if they stop and take care of you and they go above and beyond to make sure you good, those are your neighbors. Even if you come in conflict with them later, those are the neighbors you pray for. Those are the neighbors that you feel sorry for and have compassion for. Those are the neighbors that you are long-suffering and merciful for because they have been merciful and graceful with you. Those are the people that you look after. And it didn't even matter that they were priests. It didn't even matter if they were Levites. He's telling you what it is. But people create this image in their head of what the Messiah is and what he does and turn it into some effeminate male model with long blonde hair and blue eyes, accepting everything and anything as if he was weak, that he didn't stand for anything. But that's from the New Testament. I don't know why people don't read the right scriptures. Because you know what? Because they in these churches and they're listening to pastors that they don't know. These pastors have an agenda to make sure they say everything they need to say to keep the collection plate going. That's all these churches are these days. Because they're now looking at all these mega pastors making money over fists, having Bentleys, having Porsches, having mansions. What pastor sees this and be like, well, I'm speaking the same truth you speaking. I'm speaking using the same verses. What do I have to do to get some of this money? This tax-free money. I know pastors see that and be like, never think, like, oh, I need to preach the truth to my congregation and make them uneasy so I don't get no money in the collection plate. No pastor looks at that scenario and be like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna choose this route. Most of them choose the route of trying to say what they need to say to make sure you keep putting money in that collection plate. And y'all need to break away from these churches. Break away from these religions and start seeking the word yourself. Because at the end of the day, the pastors are not going to be the ones judging you. It's going to be your relationship with the Most High and your relationship with Yahusha is truly going to set you apart from everybody else. And you want to be set apart from everybody else. Nobody wants to be, you shouldn't be want to be in with the cluster. Like I said, the great that the Most High was talking about in the book of Ezra, he's talking about let the multitude perish. Let the grape, he didn't even say the cluster of the grape. He said one grape, a plant with one grape, let the rest be burned. But this plant with one grape on it, I have tried to perfect it. I have perfected it. I have perfected it through hardship, through slavery. I have tried my hardest to purge all of the bad blood and all the wickedness and all the indoctrinations from this plant into one grape to make it so perfect. I don't want that grape to be like everybody else. I don't want that grape to be grafted in with the rest of the cluster to be burned. I'm going to separate this grape and show them this is a plant of a great people. And it says it in scripture. It doesn't say I'm going to separate this grape and turn them into Christians and bring other Christians in it. He's not bringing the world into his people. And that's what people better start understanding. And you have to be willing to give up a lot and almost give it up all to follow Yahusha and follow the narrow path. You have to be willing to give up and lose a lot. But doesn't mean that you won't get that back. Let's go to Joel 2, verse 25, and I'll close it out. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of Yahuwah Elohim that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Yasharel and that I am Yahuwah Elohim and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Ruach upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days, we are at those days. Are you not seeing visions? Are you not being able to prophesy? Are you not being able to see this world for what it truly is? Are you not helping others wake up? This is the time where his Ruach is upon us all. So it shouldn't be, no, I'm defending religious doctrine, or I'm defending the Roman Catholic Church, or I'm defending my ego and pride. You shouldn't have no ego, no pride. This should be a stripping of your soul and your spirit to be built back up. Like he said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. This place will chew you. It will chew you up. It will chew up your spirituality. It will chew up your savings. It will chew up your mind. It will chew up your body. Being here too long chews you up. But you can be restored, and I trust the Most High will restore us. Everything your enemy has taken away from you, you will be getting it back tenfold. Did not Job get everything back that it was taken away from him? Yes. And then some. Why do you think he can't do that with you? When everything be destroyed and righteousness is planted and uprooting and bearing fruit, and you start bearing fruit, who's to say that the Most High can't double you fourfold or sevenfold. What do you think the Most High can't do for you? If you truly walk in his direction and walk his path, that narrow path is narrow. But it's they say it's difficult, yes. But why not make it easier for yourself and strip your mind, strip your spirit, and strip your soul and get rid of all that garbage that's not helping you, and it's not progressing you, and it's not causing you to see the Most High for what it is, and so you can enjoy this life. Like, I'm enjoying it now only because I'm getting everything back that was taken away from me. And most of it was my fault that it was taken away from me, but in ignorance, because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know scripture. I didn't know my history, my bloodline. I didn't know too much, but I know God and I knew Jesus. But it wasn't enough for me to follow him, so a lot of things got stripped and taken away from me. Now I've been put in the position to get those things back in due time and being blessed by staying true to this path. And I want you guys to be true to this path and true to yourselves by stripping yourselves from the world.